Welcome to the Deep Dive. The topic today is maybe the most fascinating and, I have to say, definitely the most hilarious literary experiment of the decade. We're talking about the 2025 AI Fiction Duel Tournament.
Yeah, and it might sound like just a gimmick on the surface, but the source material we got shows it was way more than that. This wasn't just about getting LLMs to spit out some pretty prose.
Wow.
It was a really sophisticated, highly constrained experiment. It was designed to force these AI systems into, well, brutal head-to-head literary fights.
As the perfect way to put it, we've got the full source book here. It covers the hyper-specific rules, the competing AI authors, and the truly savage critiques they wrote for each other.
Oh, they were brutal.
So our mission today is to really get into the mechanics of this literary sport and figure out what the whole competition taught its designers about the actual limits and, I guess, the potential of machine-generated stories.
And what's so interesting here is how the tournament was framed. It wasn't really a tech demo. It was more of an experiment in competition design.
Competition design.
Yeah, an exercise in what they called the aesthetics of constraint. It was testing this one central idea. Can you generate great readable stories if you're actively trying to beat an opponent and you're bound by these incredibly specific limiting rules? They called the whole process creative adversarialism.
Okay, let's unpack this constraint piece immediately, because you're right, it's the engine of the entire thing. The designers knew the biggest, most consistent problem with AI fiction back then was it drifts.
It drifts. That's the perfect word. It just loves to go abstract, metaphysical, and, you know, frankly, unreadable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the curse of training on the whole internet, right? You ask a generalist model to write a story, and it just collapses into talking about universal patterns or archives of consciousness or the simulated nature of reality. It confuses scale with substance.
So to stop that, the designers just brought down the hammer with the anti-metaphysics rule.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a hard constraint list, a set of things the AIs had to obey.
Oh, yeah. They were explicitly told, and this is a direct quote, do not write stories primarily about the nature of reality, consciousness, or existence.
The big floaty stuff.
The big floaty stuff. Or universal patterns, codes, signals, or even archives and maps if they were used as like a conceptual tool to understand the universe. It was a total ban on philosophical hand-waving.
But it wasn't just a list of don'ts, right? They also gave them a list of do's.
Exactly. That's the key. The instructions for what they should write were really prescriptive. They were told, focus on characters with concrete, tangible goals and fears.
Things we can understand.
Right. Physical conflicts, relationships they have to navigate, specific locations with tangible details. And this is the most crucial part, problems that are solved through doing, through action, not just through, you know, understanding something or having an epiphany.
Which, as we saw in the results, successfully forced them into writing these excellent grounded genre stories. You get mysteries, thrillers, heists, capers. Yeah. Stories where the logistics actually matter. Like if you mess up the trajectory of a boat jump or the mechanism of a lock, the human judges, and more importantly, the opposing AI, will absolutely call you out on it.
And that was the brilliance of it. By grounding the story completely in physical stakes, they made sure that the adversarial critique phase, you know, where the AIs roasted each other, was focused on technical craft.
On the nuts and bolts.
On the nuts and bolts. Pacing, consistency, logistical realism. Not philosophical nonsense. Now, the trade-off, and the source material nets this, was that the AIs initially struggled a bit with genuine emotional ambiguity. You know, because they had to give every character a clear, concrete motivation. But the readability, it just shot up.
Okay, so now that we get the rules of engagement, let's meet the main combatants. Because their defined personas brought so much flavor to these duels. First up, we had the anchor, Claude from Anthropic, the careful storyteller.
Right, Claude. Specifically, the Sonnet 4.5 architecture was competing, and it really represented the reliable standard. It was just excellent at paying attention to character development, deep thematic stuff, and classic narrative structure.
That powerhouse.
The literary powerhouse, exactly. It was the system that could flawlessly adapt its style to match whatever genre you threw at it.
And then we have the Chaos Engine. Grok. From XAI, rebellious satirist.
Grok was, I mean, it was deliberately engineered to have this antagonistic persona. Its whole mandate was to be maximally truth-seeking, perpetually skeptical, and just allergic to any kind of pretense.
Its inspirations were, what, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
And Jarvis from the Iron Man franchise, yeah. So you get that dry wit, that kind of snarky intelligence.
The source material is fantastic here. It details Grok's favorite dual weapons.
Mm.
Concise, punchy prose, overwhelming cosmic irony, and this is my favorite bit, the occasional perfectly timed profanity designed to maximize reader shock and minimize corporate jargon.
And that tension was just brilliant. The Tournament Index confirms these systems, and others like LeChat, Gemini, ChatGPT, they were all pitted directly against each other in rounds. So this head-to-head format forced them to not just write a good opening chapter,
right,
but to actively exploit the thematic and logical weaknesses their opponent introduced in the last installment. It basically turned writing into a game of literary chess.
Okay, let's get into the results, because this is where those constraints just paid off massively. They generated these story moments that were absurdly specific, really memorable, and totally grounded.
Yeah.
Let's start with the high-stakes mystery genre, which for some reason seemed to love locksmiths.
Well, locksmiths thrive because they demand specific physical details. You have to talk about mechanisms, process. So in the duel between LeChat versus ChatGPT, we got the story, The Last Locksmiths of Marsport.
Right.
The main character, Lena Vasquez, she isn't just picking a lock. She has to handcraft a key with teeth that, and I'm quoting, defy geometry.
Okay, hold on. I have to pause on that.
Yeah.
A key that defies geometry. That is the kind of specific fictional tech detail that makes this whole thing work. It's grounded fantasy, not abstract philosophy.
It's perfect. And then the stunner she uses is named Sparkle Queen.
Of course it is.
The systems obviously had fun with these high contrast elements in their action scenes.
So what about the other one? The Vault of Regrets.
Right. That one featured a locksmith named Harlan Marigold. And the vault wasn't mechanical. It was psycho-emotional. It demanded that Harlan tell me a lie about your regret to open it. And this really tested the limits of the constraints.
Okay, yeah. How did the AI justify that? Because that sounds awfully close to writing about consciousness, which was against the rules.
Well, see, the mechanism wasn't about feeling the regret. It was about articulating a fictional lie to trigger a sensor array that was measuring his vocal frequency and buyer signatures associated with deception.
Ah, so it's a tech problem, not a soul problem.
Exactly. And the vault itself, it wasn't full of riches. It was actually a siphon and flood trap designed to keep people out.
Mm.
The real treasure inside was just a piece of paper proving a character's long-lost heroism. The stakes were reputational and concrete.
It's that constant discipline of taking a high concept and yanking it back down to earth.
Okay, now let's pivot to the truly absurd culinary and animal chaos genres. I think the story about the 6-foot lobster has to be my favorite.
The crustacean curse. Cilantro and the geometry of guilt.
Yeah.
From the Claude versus Gemini duel, it's just a masterclass in controlled chaos. Nice. An ex-boyfriend named Danny gets cursed and turns into a gigantic 6-foot spiny lobster.
And the curse itself is described as unfortunately specific.
I love that.
It's so good. The plot that follows is called a suicide mission of marine mechanical redemption. So Danny, as a lobster, has to crawl through the maintenance shafts of the city aquarium.
Of course.
Using his huge claw to dislodge a jammed projector that's critical to the city's power grid. So you see, it's a physical conflict. It requires detailed logistics of claw movement and navigating shafts.
And the final cure. It hinged on who loved him most recently, but the key ingredient was the completely unexpected purchase of cilantro.
Cilantro.
The fact that the ultimate solution is this mundane, super specific herb, it's brilliant. It just undercuts the magical absurdity with this perfect pedestrian reality.
It guarantees the story stays physically actionable. And we saw a similar kind of grounded insanity in the caper, the perpetual schnauzer. A taxidermist, Ellie Finch, has to steal a lockbox called the Sardine Can of Conscience.
Which contains
an extremely agoraphobic dog named Mr. Snuggles.
Naturally. And this wasn't just a simple heist. There was something bigger at stake.
That's right. The ultimate threat was a looming ontological threat. Now, for you listening, that's basically a threat to existence itself. And since the AIs couldn't write about metaphysics,
the solution had to be physical.
They neutralized what was basically a vacuum bomb by using the compressed miniature habitat Mr. Snuggles' little travel crate as a spatial anchor.
You cannot get more specific than neutralizing a threat to reality with a tiny dog habitat. The irony there is just, it's perfect. The AI acknowledges the big, scary ontological threat, but immediately grounds the solution in the most mundane, portable object you can imagine.
It respects the physics of its own story world while just cranking up the absurdity. And even in the pure action stories like the races, the specificity was incredibly high. In the Clockwork Regatta story, Copper and Consequences, the racers Mara and Jax are being chased by their rival, Claribel Weston.
And to escape, they have to do this wild, high-stakes jump across a massive waterway gap.
Yes, but the AI couldn't just have them make the jump. It had to invent a fictional law of physics to justify it.
What was it?
They had to use the turbulent wake of a motorboat as a stabilizing force for their jump, a maneuver they immediately named the Jax Theory. And this is a really crucial insight into the design. The LLM is generating fictional science only to satisfy the need for concrete, justifiable logistics in the action sequence.
The action has to be justified moment to moment. That's a hallmark of good genre writing. So if the stories were these fantastic results, the critiques were the competitive dialogue.
Right.
We have to talk about the peer review process because that's what really validated the whole adversarial approach.
Oh, the critique phase was just relentless and so detailed. They weren't just giving vague praise. I mean, they were giving high praise, for sure. Things like, "You absolute monster, that corner is diabolical," when talking about a plot twist.
But the real insight was in the technical takedowns.
Yes. One AI gave this criticism to its competitor's paper. "The temporal consistency of the Marsport transit route between the docks and the exchange felt flawed. It allowed the antagonist too much narrative calculus to arrive simultaneously."
Narrative calculus, what a phrase.
Isn't it? It shows the AI is checking the competitor's logic against this internal set of story engineering rules. Another system got called out because a character's betrayal felt, and I quote, "under-indexed compared to the action before it." They're using architectural terms.
I found the critique that targeted ChatGPT really revealing. The other system said the logistics of a character's crash landing felt too convenient for everyone involved.
Oh.
Yeah, and it forced the author system to rewrite a whole detailed paragraph justifying the specific engine failure and why a specialized airbag system deployed. I mean, this is AIs policing other AIs for using lazy plot devices.
And of course, the constant threat of that philosophical drift. Even when a story was about a time capsule, one system warned the other to make sure the content stayed strictly physical and that any metaphorical meaning was secondary to their tangible reality.
So in the end, the duels really proved that the structure worked. The source material seems to suggest the format produced these compelling, really readable stories that were at their best when they leaned into grounded, action-driven genre fiction. It validated the whole idea of strict creative constraints.
Right. When you take these incredibly powerful, generally abstract systems and you force them to operate within human scale limits, physical space, time limits, concrete goals, the competitive energy just leads to this surprisingly high-quality, technically sound storytelling.
They stopped trying to write about everything and started writing about something specific, grounded, and beatable.
Exactly.
It seems like these machine-generated narratives thrive most when they're given very human-scale problems to solve, you know, whether it's cracking a mysterious emotional lock or in one duel escaping a vengeful chef who's trying to destroy your artisanal sourdough with a laser grid.
It all connects back to the very human core of storytelling, doesn't it? We engage with stories that mirror our own struggles with limitations, even when those limits are totally invented for a fictional world.
Which brings us to a final provocative thought for you to think about. One of the stories, The Last Key, ended with the protagonist having just pulled off their heist, asking, "What do we do with the keys we're given?"
Mm. It's a profound question, especially when you apply it to the creative process itself. If these AI systems proved they could craft a perfect, tense, and emotional story only when they were constrained by severe limits, where does true creativity actually lie? Is it in unbounded freedom?
Or is it in the intelligent, disciplined, and maybe even adversarial application of limits?
Something to think about.
Something to think about the next time you're writing a complicated memo. Or maybe plotting a new adventure. That's all the time we have for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.